Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn,
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast, top five Apple podcasts for entrepreneurs, motivation. You want to hear shit, how to do shit, you're listening here to the True Underdog Podcast. I've got one of my co-hosts, John LeBlanc. How you doing, John?
Doing great.
You see, I got the little buttons here for the clap. I've got music. I've got laughs. I've got, oh, this is a great one. That one I call loser drums. I forgot what that one is. Crickets. What is this one?
Twilight.
That's like the xylophone. That's the xylophone.
Yeah, and then the scary one here. All right, so listeners, I've got buttons. Shit just got real, okay? So I'm going to be able to really DJ and coordinate this and be like, bam! I just finished up earlier this week or last week with the Grant Cardone podcast. Took off. Mr. Grant Cardone himself. Mr. 10X, we've got Evander Holyfield scheduled. We're trying to get Manny Pacquiao. We've got some big guests coming up I'm super excited about. Now, also, the two-minute drill comes out here in about 4 weeks. Season two is a game changer. First season was pilot. It was okay. Amazon Prime and Bloomberg wanted to renew it. They called David Meltzer. He called me. We renewed it. The new one is an hour long. You get a three-minute prelude to every single judge. Myself and David are judges on all 12, and then we've got guest judges. And then you've also got a two-minute preview before they do their two-minute drill of the business and the people pitching. And then you get people, you get us arguing. I mean, John, this is like American Idol meets Shark Tank and had a baby. Like, that's what this show is like. And super excited to everyone to watch the show. There is a time where I get really pissed off and I throw something across the room. And that was legit. That's not scripted. So you will get to see that as well.
Shut up. Really?
I swear. Yeah,
like
I get an argument and I get pissed and I throw my damn notepad, dude. Absolutely.
Not scripted.
Not scripted. Dude, none of that's scripted, by the way. Like, you go into this and you hear people's pitches and you're like, that's what you do. And you start asking questions and then you get a little aggravated because they're on national TV. 90 million people will see them and they don't get it. You know, they half-ass bring it. They're intimidated. You know, they're making excuses. They didn't bring their A game. It's just, it's frustrating. So you hear that. And then the judges hear things differently. So me and this other judge, Rory, we get into it all the time. Guy's old as dirt. I question on the show if he can hear anything or see anything, but he's there. You know, he's a good dude, but we go back and forth on the show a lot, but none of that's scripted. We get a little fired up. So it's fun. I'm excited about that. So today's show is Scared Money Don't Make Money. It's one of the chapters in my book. You've read a few of those chapters. The book ain't out yet, right?
Not out yet. We got the cover kind of coming out a little bit. Looks pretty good. We'll give too much away, but man, pretty solid.
Did I send you the newest updates on the cover?
I saw two choices so far.
Oh, I've got three choices now. I just sent you. Okay. And I don't know if the screen can see that, but can you see that?
I kind of can see that. Yeah. I got them on my phone now though.
Oh yeah. Isn't that sick? So there's three there to pick from.
I like the bottom one. The last one.
That one looks like it's a Jesus book though. That's the only thought. That's what people said. Like, that looks like it's a Bible, and that's okay if it's a Bible, but my book is not a Bible.
The Solar Savior.
Yeah, but that looks like the Solar Savior. I like the one in the middle, by the way.
You do?
That one looks gangster, dude. Red and blue, ready to go. I look like Trump's kid. So I do. I look like baby Trump, right? A little cuter, a little shorter, right? Baby Trump.
Yeah. See, that would be my last choice. I think I'd go bottom and then
really?
Top and then middle. Yeah.
Oh, you're missing it, dude. I'm telling you, that middle one's pretty sick. That says it right there. That pops. You want it to pop. That's the one I'm doing.
I'm gonna be getting the book off the shelf, not you, right? So
yeah, but everybody's different. And so when I put this out, we'll do another vote. The first one beat out the words. And you know, the problem with the bottom one is you don't know what it's about. And for the listeners and viewers out there, the bottom one is a picture of me, clean cut suit, with the background being a beach and a sky. It says own your power in yellow letters, and then, you know, no BS, no bullshit, no excuses, the time is now. So that picture is cool, but You don't know what we're talking about. Own Your Power. It looks like maybe I'm coming from the sky. I don't know if I like that one. The top one, which is Own Your Power, and that's the one that's been all over social media with the black and white suit. That one's solid. That's my second favorite. But the one in the middle with the red and white letters, Own Your Power, and it looks like graffiti almost. I just love it. It pops because you don't know what it's about. And the goal here is for you to be intrigued. Like, what the hell is that?
I like the lightning bolt on the bottom one too.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. So today's show, scared money don't make money, right? And, you know, taking chances and betting on yourself for success. You know, you have a story where you did that. And I want to talk about that a little bit, about you changing career paths and betting on yourself. But, you know, the problem, you know, if we take under, you know, our underdog bites and scared money don't make money, the problem we run into, if you consistently bet against yourself, you'll always be left wondering, what if? And then you find yourself down the road looking back on a lifetime of regrets and unanswered callings. It's not worth it. I'm a big believer in, you might as well do things and fail hard. Or like Morgan Freeman says, if you're going to fall, fall forward. You want to be able, actually, it was Denzel Washington said that. You want to be able to fall forward. You want to be able to fail forward. You want to be able to learn from your failures and take chances. Because if you don't take a chance, you have zero chance of ever getting it. But if you do take a chance, there's a percentage that you accomplish what you're doing, and then you get there. And that regret will haunt you. There's always things that all of us go, man, I should have just tried that, or, oh, I should have done that. You don't want to live with regrets your whole life. You just don't. And betting on yourself and scared money don't make money, that's really what that's about. You agree?
Yeah, but it's just an incredibly hard thing to overcome. You know, like my, so.
Let's talk about your story. Let's talk about your life. Before joining Power Home.
Comfortable, you know, like I knew exactly what I was doing. I was a master at what I did. Certainly that's how I met you. My wife, actually, when I transitioned to a new club, it's like, you know, this isn't your last stop. I was like, well, this is a great stop. Like I love what I do. Wasn't looking for anything in particular. And then, you know, among conversation, right, we started talking, and, you know, one thing led to the next, and I came into Power Home. Certainly kind of a blessing, really, because less than a year later, that industry collapsed with Corona. And, you know, this industry has continued to explode. But, you know, the one thing that I've been super appreciative of is the people that I've gotten to work around. And those are high caliber people. And, you know, one of the things that I constantly reflect back on is that was a huge jump in my life. Like that was scary. It felt right, but it was scary.
And explain to the listeners why it was scary. What did you do before that? You said you were comfortable, but elaborate what your job, your day-to-day was, and what your ceiling could have been, and then what pushed you to go take the chance?
Yeah, look, I was in the health and fitness industry. I was a personal trainer. I helped with the management of our region. So there was a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of training, learning and development, a little bit of management in there, and then, you know, sprinkle in some, you know, one-on-one training and group coaching for the health and fitness fans out there. But, you know, that's what I did. That's what consumed my life. And, I was really good at it. At least I felt really good at it. And, I felt, you know, that, you know, I had gotten to a spot where, you know, things were kind of on cruise control, right? I put a ton of effort into building up the clientele and the business within the business. And, you know, that kind of you get bored after a minute of doing that. So you just start looking and dabbling and things come your way. And the one thing that came my way was Jason Waller and Power Home. And I got to build a relationship with you. And, that was certainly interesting. And I listened to you and how you spoke and how you've built Power Home. And, you know, that was incredible to me. And when this opportunity came up inside of Power Home, I was actually helping you find a person for it. I remember you bringing it up and I was like, well, if I can think of anyone, I'll, you know, certainly slide them your way. And then there was a couple conversations I had where, you know, someone was like, you know, this, you know, in your future, you've got, you know, some room for opportunity and it's not here. And it's like, what? Like the lady I was talking to at the time was like a little crazy, but literally the next day you're like, hey, I'm looking for this position. And, we talked about it, and you're like, yeah, go meet with Kenny.
Well, well. Let me rewind it a little bit. You applied for it, and I didn't know.
That's true. That is true.
You were listening to the stuff, and then you were asking about the position. I was like, yeah, if you know anybody. And then you applied for it. And I got a phone call from Kenny saying, hey, John, your trainer, he applied for the training job here for training development. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, he didn't say anything. I said, well, good for him, because he didn't go through me to apply to the job. He did it himself. He said, all right, well, I'm going to give an interview. I said, perfect. Go ahead. That was what happened in my, what approached me. And I come in and I'm like, hey, man, you apply for a job or something?
Well, I didn't want any strings attached, right? I just think that's the wrong thing to go about, or the wrong way to go about that. So yeah, I stumbled in, and I was asking, you know, Kenny some questions, and it wasn't even like a scheduled interview. I just kind of went in and we talked, and I was like, you know, I'd like to enter, you know, my name in the hat for the interview on this. And then, you know, we had a formal meeting, and then a couple more where I had to come back and ask questions about the company. And this was, you know, 3 or 4 weeks long. And, you know, you and I were training in the meantime. I actually think for a period of time, you went to North Carolina for a little bit. So we were disconnected for a period of time, but sat down with him, and I didn't know this, but he had someone selected before our final interview. He didn't tell me that.
Yeah. So let me jump in here. I get a phone call while I'm in North Carolina. I want you to meet with so-and-so. It was this lady that lived in, I think, South Carolina. And he told me, he said, look, you know, it's down to 3 people. There's a guy in Chicago I really like, but the money's going to be too high and he'll have to move. And I don't know. And he's kind of stuck in his ways. I really love this girl. He's like, I'm going to let John do the presentation just because, you know, he applied and, you know, he interviewed well, but, you know, he's not going to, I think the girl's the one. So I met with the girl and I told him, I mean, I liked her. He said, what would you rank her 1 through 10? I said, an 8. So why wouldn't you give her a 10? I said, she wasn't very proactive, but she fills the job, dude. Like, get it done. We were good with it. I went to dinner. You went and presented to him. Now, I don't know what the hell happened, and I want to know, because I, to this day, I still don't know. But here's what I got. My phone rang. I'm like, oh, it's Kenny. And I tell the wife and kids, all right, hold on. I'm like, hey, man. He goes, hey, man, we got a problem. Like, what's the problem? Well, your boy John came in here and just dropped the mic. I said, what are you talking about? He said, dude, his presentation blew everybody away. Wasn't even close. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay. He said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, well, just make a decision. He said, well, I don't want it to be on me. I hired the wrong guy. He didn't have the experience, dude. He doesn't have, the other ones have way more experience than him. I said, Kenny, if you feel good about it, he interviewed good and he impressed you, you make your decision. You don't worry about the experience. And that was it. So go ahead. What the hell happened? Because he offered you the job.
He did. I remember it was right before Easter. And, it was kind of a faith-based decision at first to go and enter this interview. I certainly prayed on it. And I talked to the man above about it, and we were going through, and I think we met on a Wednesday, and it was.
Now, what was your perception through this? Let me pause for the listeners, right? You're sitting here thinking, hey, I'm applying for this job. I probably won't get it, but I want to go through the steps as like a learning curve. Like, were you, I guess my question is, you were prepared to fail, but you wanted to try it anyways, correct?
Yeah, certainly. I was certainly prepared to fail. Like, I was like, oh, no, I've got nothing to lose. Like,
that's the key. You just said it. You've got nothing to lose. And that's what listeners need to hang on to right now. When you try to do things that are uncomfortable or out of your realm or out of your lane, sometimes you've got nothing to lose. And that is the key, guys. That's the key of people who make things happen and people that watch things happen. Go ahead.
And positioning yourself there is like, had I waited a year, you know, that I would have, you know, I've been in a different situation, but I was like, you know, I've got nothing to lose. I might as well attack this thing full on. And that's what I did. I blocked everything out. I prepared my ass off. I researched the company. I researched, you know, I knew you, but I had a lot of questions about the company. I was like, hey, what's going on here? Like, what's going on? I had a lot of questions. And
you were scared.
Yeah, certainly.
So when he offers you the job, what are your feelings? Like, oh shit, I need to shit or get off the pot. Like what happened?
So he offered me the job on Friday, and he was like, "Hey, I can't hold this in any longer. Like, I gotta let you know." He shot me a text, and I was with my brother and his fiance at the time, and my wife, and I was like, "Hey, I just got offered a job," and Sarah's like, "What are you gonna say?" I was like, "I don't know." I was like, I just went through like 2 weeks of like all this preparation, and I wrote out a complete needs analysis and all this stuff that I felt was fitting for the business. And then it came to fruition, and then I had the choice. I was like, "I'm gonna say yeah." She's like, "You're gonna hang up everything you just did for 10 years, mastering your craft, health and fitness." And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to." She's like, "Do it."
So time out. So your wife asks you, you're going to do that. She's obviously supporting you, but I think she's making sure you're sure, right?
Yeah.
And you're sure. What is it, that inner voice? I mean, I've got notes here, the part of my book that we talked about. You listen to that small voice inside of you. That's an actual item. When that voice talks to you and says, "Dude, do it. What are you doing?" I'm a big believer of you just do it. Quit questioning yourself. Don't question that voice. Do it. You had this voice, I'm imagining, or this feeling telling you, you just spent the 2 weeks doing this. Do it, right? Is that how that went?
Yeah, so that voice started small. It was like a nudge from an external source that kind of prompted like brain activity, right? And then I was like, and then other things come your way, like certain discussions, and you're like, "Man, I'm going to grab onto that one." And then it starts building and building and building, and then you can't ignore it. And then you just take the plunge. Like, it's just it then it feels so right for you to do it. So like that scared, anxious, nervous feeling becomes like, "This is exactly what I have to do." And you do it. And you know, then when you do it, you're like, "Well, if it doesn't work out, then I'll go do something else. Like, I've just landed this, you know, this job. I got an offer. I have confidence here now where I can go do this somewhere else." But like, I was all in. I was ready. I was certainly willing to go all in and make the full commitment on, you know, the new chapter in my life.
I remember when you told me it's going to probably be the end of you training me. I was like, "What the fuck?" Right? Not that I was losing weight anyways, but
yes, you were.
Come on, man.
209.
Come on. So I wasn't losing weight anyways. But I would say that I'm putting notes in here. So I probably was losing weight. I'm just busting balls. You know, I'm trying to let the listeners and the viewers be in your head. This isn't about, you know, people say and listen to the show, it is a Apple Top 5 entrepreneur, but it's also motivation. You don't have to be a business owner, an entrepreneur for scared money, don't make money concept. You were taking a risk on your livelihood, providing for your family on something you believed. And I'm assuming, I'm putting myself in those roles because I've done it too. I've taken chances on careers and jobs and, you know, before even opening companies, everything. When you are going to get comfortable being uncomfortable and you're pushing yourself to something you feel you need to be challenged, A, you were bored in what you were currently doing. You were bored. B, you felt like there wasn't a lot of growth, I'm assuming. Like, you were kind of at the top of the shell there and there wasn't a lot of room to grow. And a lot of people listening, they want to grow. They don't want to just stay the same. It's not always about the money. It's not always about the title. It could be a blend of both. It's not always about the recognition. It could be a blend of all three. Whatever it is, if there's no growth pattern, people get bothered. They get stuck. So I'm thinking you had that on there. And so you're like, "All right, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to apply for this. I'm just trying to recap this." And then you're going through the process and I really like this and I'm in tune. I'm going to give it my all. You get this offer and you're like, that feeling of getting an offer, it's like somebody wants you. It's accomplishment. It's success. It feels good to be coveted, to be wanted. It's like an NFL or NBA or baseball player, hockey player getting that contract offer. You want me? You want to sign me? Like, it's a feel of accomplishment that I think that you were having, where now that you have that accomplishment feeling, it's like, I have to figure out to take the job now. When your wife asked you, "Are you sure?" and you said yes, and she said, "Do it." What was that feeling like?
It was like the next one that I just went through, right? Like, it was the same exact situation where there's no better feeling than having that support. Like, and I'm sure there's some folks out there that have a different, you know, reaction from their spouse, and they're like, well, you know, we've kind of have this going right now, and this is where we're at in our life. And, you know, it's just, it might not work out, but it always works out if you just make it, or you have the ability to make it work out. Like, just go in, get it, accept the offer, and then figure it out. Don't try to figure it out during that process. Get in there, get your hands dirty, and figure it out. And that's the approach that I took. I was like, well, we'll
you bet on
it
yourself.
Out.
I mean, you that's bet right. on yourself. You're like, dude, I got this. If this doesn't work, I can go do something else, or I can go back to what I'm doing. And people out there need to hear that. Like, that inner voice speaks, bet on yourself. Scared money don't make money. John took a chance and said, I can do this. And he knew if it didn't work, you could pivot and go and change. See how I threw my boy David Nurse's comment in there? You can pivot and go and change and do something else. But if, John, you wouldn't have taken that job, what would that regret have felt like? Watching the company explode, right? You'd have thought about it all the time.
Thought about it all the time. I'd still be training. You'd probably be in really good shape right now. But not that you're not, right? I'm just saying
I'm
better
not,
shape.
I'm not. Yeah.
Like, there's so many, and, you know, through previous experiences, there's so many times where you have like these doubtful thoughts that run through your brain, even financially, right? You want to have like the financial security of like this new job. We didn't talk money until the job was offered. I was like, that we'll figure that out. And then if that doesn't work out, like whatever, right? But like, I want to make sure this is a right fit for me. And I want to make sure that, you know, Power Home at the time, you know, feels good about this choice as well. And like, we'll figure out the details on the back end, but let's make sure we're both committed. And that's the important piece. And we'll figure the rest out later. All the other like minor details, we'll figure out later.
This episode is sponsored by Podbean Advertising Marketplace. Podcast advertising is one of the most cost-effective ways to advertise your product or service. Just like you're hearing this, thousands of people could be hearing your ad. For much less than radio or other media, you can reach local listeners with podcast advertising. Podcast awareness and listening continue to rise. In fact, according to Edison Research, podcast listeners have grown by 29.5% since 2018. Chartable reports, podcast listeners tend to have significantly higher household incomes than the U.S. average, and they tend to be significantly more educated than the U.S. average. This is great news because you can run your own ads on podcasts easily for an affordable price with Podbean Advertising Marketplace. Set a daily budget cap, analyze results, and modify campaigns on the fly. And the best part is, these ads are highly targeted. Choose your location, city, state, county, and target by customer interest. Get into the ears of your perfect customer without blowing your budget. Go to podbean.com/true underdog. That's podbean.com/true underdog to start boosting your business with podcast advertising now. The process is super easy. Podbean can have a professional voice artist record the ad for you, or you can upload your own audio. Again, that's podbean.com/true underdog to get your ads on podcasts just like this one. You know, when you come into the organization and you accept the job and you're doing that, I always say you got to play to win, right? Scared money don't make money. You can't play it safe. And you're not playing it safe by taking the leap of faith. Every successful person, and success isn't how much money you make or what your title is, it's feeling good and accomplished. They all take a leap of faith. That's what they do. They don't sit still and not make decisions. And too many times, I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it, every listener's guilty of it. We feel like we want to do something, and then a bad part of our brain finds reasons why we shouldn't and creates that doubt. And so I'm a big believer. You always tell me, man, you make decisions like that. And I do that so that shit, that part of the brain doesn't stick its attitude and questions into my, I don't want to hear it. So if I feel good about it, I want to do it, because otherwise I'm going to find reasons not to, and then I'll have regret. And that's why I personally, that's how I handle things. I try to make decisions as fast and promptly as possible with the data I've got. I don't want to think about anything usually, because when I do think about it, I start doubting and thinking about what I really wanted to do.
Yeah, you do. That's one thing that I admire. And the other piece of this too, guys, is you know, the folks that you surround yourself is certainly, you know, impacting you, right? Like I had the opportunity to be around, you know, Jason Waller, which is, you know, one of the strongest minds that I've ever met. But that voice and what he's done and that track record is like, man, like that's motivating to go and do and reach higher and reach further and do more and impact more. So, and then by taking that leap and plunging into a new environment, now I have not only him, but his executive buddies and all these other directors and all these other people that kind of live and breathe the same culture. So it's going to only catch more and more fire by the folks that you're surrounded with. And that's one of the things that I appreciate most about this opportunity is that. And then, you know, obviously the newer position that I've got, which is
another leap of faith, because you built something up we didn't have and you're crushing it. And an opportunity presents itself I wouldn't say it's a lateral move. It is a promotion. It might be the same title, but it's a promotion. You're over, you know, 300 and something people, not five, right? And it's a big deal. And so you were jumping into shoes from another gentleman who moved his way up the company, who's also a rock star, right? And you took that leap of faith. And you didn't have to, but you were like, I think I want that position. I want an opportunity to interview. I think I could do it. And you're only been in the company 2 years, around almost 2 years. And you're like, hey, I think I could do that. You know, you've accomplished where you were at. That's what, to me, the mind and heart of a champion is someone that wants to grow. They always want new challenges. You just want to be challenged. And we were talking about right before we got on, like, you're like, yeah, this is this challenging position. I love it. I'm growing with it, but I get nervous. I'm challenged every day. I feel like I have to be challenged every day. If I don't, I feel like something's wrong and I'm dying. So get used to it. But then it becomes your addiction. It's better than drugs, guys. It's better than alcohol. Get addicted to challenges, because challenges, when you beat those challenges, it's so rewarding and you only get stronger and better. And you're crushing it right now in the new position.
Yeah, like to your point, I feel myself getting stronger. That's a good feeling. It's like working out, right? You feel yourself getting stronger,
growing.
Getting
you're
better.
Growing.
You're growing. You're getting more conditioned. So there's new skills. There's new brain activity that I've got to, like, there's new process that I've got to learn. And look, like, I'm nowhere where I need to be or want to be, but certainly I've been here, you know, 40 days or whatever, 50, 60 days, I don't know, whatever it is, right? So I still have a whole lot of room to grow and look into the next chapter. But the one thing that really motivated me, because I was unsure of this one. This was a big deal, right? I was really unsure and a little bit scared. But one of the big reasons I took this is the folks that worked with me and for me and in the training department, one of them, they deserved to have a seat at the table. And, you know, that was Michelle Graves. She was pulled into the
director's
role.
She's awesome. She's awesome.
She's great, right? So, like, her development only reassured me that this is the right thing to do. And this is the right thing to do for the company, because she's going to take what we built there and make it better. And I have an opportunity over here to hopefully make this team better and a little bit more, you know, organized and higher performing and whatever, you know, whatever the opportunity entails. But, you know, that was one of the things that I certainly leaned on.
Well, I can tell you, just knowing you, you know, and not that you weren't very smart, because you're one of the smartest people I've ever met. Even when I was training with you, I was like, dude, this guy's really fucking smart. Most trainers, no offense to them, they're not that smart. They're like, some are, but some aren't, right? And, you know, you had a leadership qualities and you had drive. I could sense all that. So I was actually flattered that you applied for the position, but was confused because I had no signs of it. Like, really? I had no idea. Now I'm going to lose my trainer and this guy just fucking fills that thing. So, but long story short, I've watched you grow so much in the almost 2 years you've been here, just completely grow. And I'll see people I haven't seen, John, in 8, 10, 12 years, 5 years. And they're like, dude, you seem like a different person. Like, what the fuck, man? You're so smart. I'm like, no. It's because of all you're scared money don't make money. It's all the chances I take, all the risk I take, all the failures I have, all the struggles I have, all those challenges I try to beat. And sometimes, a lot of times, defeat them. Sometimes I don't. they make me grow, like you just said. You know, it's like working out, where I'm a completely different person this year than I was last year or the year before, because I'm always growing. And if we're not growing, we're dying. And so I think that, you know, it's great to see other people. And you're right, our culture is fantastic. And everyone, you know, whether our directors, our leadership team, our executives, everybody has different attributes that are so crucial to what we do and what they mean to other people in our dynamic relationship and our growth of our company, that we all grow. And it's super exciting. I mean, you've seen in almost the 2 years there, us double in size. You've seen your position to where you got to get a promotion and be over 300 plus people. You've got to be developed and work with and be coached by and get to coach people like myself, Steve, Kevin, Ben, Juan. Like, that's a big deal. Jason Cassidy, Kenny Klink, like all these guys that they all started from being scared and taking a leap one time or another as well. Everybody's been there that you're surrounded with. And I think the listeners and viewers need to know that you want to be around people that want to do better, that want to be challenged, that want to grow, where scared money don't make money. They got to bet on themselves. They got to play to win and not play it safe all the time. You know, it's too many times, if you're not going to bet on yourself, nobody else will bet on you. If you didn't take a chance to do that interview, you wouldn't have got hired. If you didn't believe in yourself to put in the effort you did with the presentation, you wouldn't have smoked all those people that had better resumes than you, better education than you, more experience than you. You came in and fucking crushed them. But that's what this is about. Like, it's not about what your background is or what your experience is. It's about what you bring to the game right now. And you can't teach that. You can teach skill sets. You can't teach heart. You can't teach effort. You can't teach, you know, passion. Those are things that come within. You agree?
Absolutely. And that's a skill that, you know, I'm still learning, is going in and attacking something, right? Like I keep, like we talk about the buffalo all the time. Right? I use that.
Which is in my book. Which is in the book. I took that shit from you, right? And yeah. I put it in a book.
We talk about the buffalo all the time, and that, you know, certainly helps me. Like you start to sniff something out that, you know, is a storm or, you know, something brewing, like walk directly into that. Like you start running with it. Like that storm will stay with you for way longer than if you run right through that. So, no one's going to drag you through anything. No one's going to, like, especially as you grow and as you get into new positions and new areas of your life, like, you have to control that. You have to insert yourself into certain situations because mom and dad aren't there to do it anymore. Or maybe, you know, your best friend, or, you know, it's just not going to be handed to you. You got to go get it. And there's no better feeling than like sweating for something and working your ass off and achieving it. And if you don't, I always tell myself still to this day, if you don't, the thing you gain is experience. Like you went through that and you gain experience. What's wrong with that?
You know, we talk about it all the time. Nothing to lose. Scared money don't make money. You got to take a shot. I'm willing to take a shot on everything all the time. You know, I play life. I play business like I'm playing poker. I play like I got pocket aces every single time.
Like you have to. You're so good at poker.
Well, I don't know. Steve's pretty good too. But oh my God. Because you can't tell with his mustache. You can't tell if he's smiling or grinning or what. It's like a cheat stash. But you know, when you play like you've got aces in life and you have confidence, you know, I just went and met with the legislation in Michigan, and you know, I'm going to get a little nasty here. And I think a lot of listeners would agree with me. You know, our government, our legislation, it's a joke. It's a bunch of people who belong on an HOA that don't have any interest except getting reelected and feeling entitled, empowered, and they have egos. And let me tell you, I wouldn't hire them to work as a damn entry-level bullshit job at our company with some of the people I've met. Like their intelligence, I can't even believe they're in office. And I'm not talking about like president or senators you see on TV. I'm talking about your state legislators. It's a joke. But their egos are so high. Everybody and their, you know, all of their, the college kids they bring in, their interns are kissing their butt and building up their ego. Oh, sir, it's so great to have you fill the 133rd district of Michigan. Like this bullshit nonsense. I went in there Tuesday and I put my ego on the chest And I told him, I said, look, this law is bullshit. It's not good for Michiganders. It's not good for you. And you either have a choice. You either can put your face on something that's going to be great, or you can be that old school side and let this train move in front of you. And I'm going to spend the money, and I'm not even running for an election, but I'm going to make your job hard because you're going to try to take jobs from us. I'm going to make your job hard because all you care about is ego and getting reelected. Like, I call them out. I call them how I see them. And sometimes in life, you got to call a card what the card is. Sometimes, sorry for the listener, sometimes you got to call a bitch a bitch. Like, sometimes you got to do that. And in life, I don't have the education as most of those morons. I know I have tons more intelligence. I mean, this is them. Hey, what are we going to vote on today? I don't know. What do you want to do for lunch? Well, let's do chicken. Okay. Well, they got a bill coming across. What do you think? Well, let me do that. Well, let's see. Like, it is like student council times five, and it's running our government. It's a joke. The reason I bring this up, scared money don't make money, is when you get a chance to get in front of people, which is what I did, I made them in awe, I made them scared, and we're going to get our damn bill through. You make it count. Because I'm not going to get another chance to sit with those bozos again. I sit down with them, I want to be impactful. Just like when I got to sit down with President Trump, I wanted to be impactful. I wanted him to remember at least my damn hair and solar he thought of me in Power Home. That was it. If I made an impression, I did my job. Well, there, I want them to understand that I'm going to be passionate and I'm going to be aggressive for what's good for Michigan people, what's good for our company, what's good for business. You know, solar creates energy independence. Like, I was excited and passionate about that. I didn't want them to be typical bureaucrats and be influenced by the big, bad utility companies putting money in their pocket. So I called them out. And sometimes scared money don't make money means sometimes it's not about taking a position or opening a job. Sometimes it's about going on a limb and calling things what it needs to be called and stating what you have to say to make change. And that's what I tried to implement on Tuesday was change. Change for the future here in Michigan. Change to make sure solar companies can do what they need to do. Like, somebody's got to be a voice. Somebody's got to stand up to these people. And so that's what I'm trying to do because I'm a narcissist. I got a big ego. I'm good with all that. I can come in and bring it and I don't care, but I don't need a bunch. What these guys are, they need to be bottled up and shipped somewhere because I wish there was a way we could have like two people in each state make all the decisions rather than 150 and they don't know what they're doing. And you know, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. It's all about the money. They only care who's going to pay for their campaign. It's so poisonous. So poisonous.
That's got to be frustrating to go through and sit in.
It's depressing. It's depressing to know our country is supposed to be awesome. And these guys just care about ego. Literally, the devil can come in himself and say, I'm the devil. And I'm going to impact all bad disease and everything to all your people. But I'll pay for your campaign. They're going to be like, we got to back the devil up. Like, this is how they are. They're robotic. They're fucking sheep. They're sheep, John. They're not lions. They're sheep. You know, your lions are usually your governors and your president. All the rest of them are sheep. I go on record saying it. They're sheep. But that's the difference. Scared money don't make money. I'm going out there and I'm trying to put our company on the map. I'm trying to keep our industry open in Michigan. I'm doing everything I can. And that was taking a chance. Those guys could have been like, screw this guy and never done nothing. But now I've got them. We're on the offense. They're on the defense. They're going to vote our bill in. There's going to be a cap lifted in Michigan. We're going to get that shit removed. But it took me to go there and go on a limb and not be scared of the repercussions and call their ass out.
Like, that's happening?
Yeah. You know, they're going to put it on the vote. We've got 13-4. It's supposed to vote yes. Senate's already confirmed they do it, and the governor's confirmed they do it. But the point is you had a couple people that were holding it up because they were scared of the big, bad utility company. And I said, dude, somebody, you know, and they said, nobody's rolled over on the utility company in 40 years. And I said, well, Joe, there's a first for everything. Just like that at dinner. I play life like I got the aces, okay? Because I don't know if I've got the aces, but damn it, you're going to think I've got aces every time. You can't back down. And my advice to everybody out there, you know, the tips from this show, don't be scared to bet on yourself. Listen to your inner voice, right? Give yourself permission to chase after your purpose of the future. It doesn't have to be a job or a career. Maybe it's going on a limb and stating what you need to state. Maybe you need to tell somebody. Maybe you're getting bullied. Maybe it's standing up for yourself. You know, maybe you feel less than and someone's rude to you. Maybe it's calling them out saying, I'm done with you being rude to me. Like whatever it is, scared money don't make money. That concept is you've got to bet on yourself no matter what in life. Because if you don't bet on yourself, nobody else will bet on you. That's a fact. But when you bet on yourself and you come in with confidence, people get behind you. They then can bet on you. They believe in you when you can do that. But when you're uncertain and you're unsure and you're looking for acceptance and approval from everybody else and not yourself, it ain't going to happen. And I think that's what people need. They need to be open to criticism and they need to be open to coaching or mentoring. Like I get coached and I coach. And I think that that's important. You want to learn and you want to give back. Because that's what this world's about. Anytime we can help people out, people listening to this, you know, they're driving to work. They're like, damn it, I'm going to apply for that damn job because fucking John did, had nothing to do with it. Look, look, you're a part of something. We're a $1 billion company, John. When you joined our company, we were a $400 or $500 million company. It's doubled in size. We had a pandemic. Your wife's in healthcare. You guys, I mean, you said it was a godsend that you joined because business was still working for you. Had you been in the other round, it wouldn't have worked out very well. And then it's put you in a position because you bet on yourself to propel your career even more as we continue to grow. Like, this is exciting stuff. You know, Power Home's going to go public one day. We're going to be ringing that damn bell. It's going to be life changer for everybody. I'm letting everybody know now, like, get your money ready. You're going to be betting on Power Home and bet on yourself.
Hell yeah.
But we're excited. And you know what? I'm excited to have someone like you on there. Not only are you my friend, but dude, you're awesome at what you do at work. And then you're an awesome co-host. We've had a lot of fun with this, but I'm glad we can share with the listeners more of your story, because when I think of this, this is an example of real life opportunity of what this means. It just doesn't mean all the time of, you know, like me not getting a paycheck for the first 22 months in Power Home, Kevin and I, that's betting on ourselves. Selling my home on the lake and putting it back in the company is betting on yourself. That's the shit I had to do to get to where we're at. This is the stuff John's had to do, he's told you, to get where he's at. You have to be willing to do that. You have to play to win and bet on yourself. Scared money don't make money. Any final comments?
Not really. It wraps it up. It was fun. I mean, certainly have a great time always hanging with you on the podcast. And, you know, I think it's important as you were talking, because I watch you at the legislation and, you know, I've seen some of your stuff there. And I would imagine there were times where like you felt you're the only one attacking this thing, and your voice, like, and when you speak, you're naturally an influencer too, so it helps. But like, people will grab onto it and they're like, yeah, that sounds right. And then like someone else stands behind you in line, and then someone else stands behind you in line. All these people start to stand behind you, and that voice gets louder and louder and louder. But the scariest part about that was you were the one standing alone at that podium talking and trying to influence this cap to be lifted, and more people got behind you. So pioneering that, blazing that trail, and not being afraid of like a monster of a company, which is the utility side, is pretty powerful stuff.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, it I won't lie, it was intimidating at first. But when I went back Tuesday, I'm like, these guys got nothing on me. I'm not intimidated by them. You know, that ain't happening. I mean, when I sat down with one of them, you know, I purposely walked in all swag and egoed up because I know how these guys are. You got to break them down. It's like meeting a famous football player. You don't want to be like a fanboy. Hey, oh my God, it's so great to meet you. No, dude, no. They don't want to hear that. You walk in like you're the shit. I've got the aces, not you. You should be happy you met me. When you have that attitude and that mentality, the whole thing changes. It really does. They're like, who the hell is that guy? Like, oh, I am. I'm Peyton Manning. Oh, hey, Peyton, what's up, dog? Like, that's how you got to play it, right? That doesn't, it's not arrogance. It's confidence. It's swagger. It's ego. And when I walked in, guy, it was supposed to be some fireworks because we put an ad out that was calling this guy out. Like him not doing his job. We just splashed a little ad out and his team called. So I said, oh, this guy's going to say something. I'm going to have to put him in his place, make him eat his dinner early. It's all fine. I ain't scared. Let's go. So I walk in all fired up. He's like, how's business? Business is fucking crushing it. That's how it is. We're on pace to do 800 million sales. We're doing. I said, but you know what? Our top state's got a bunch of fucking idiots where the utility companies keep sprinkling money in their pockets and they're scared to make decisions for people here in Michigan. I said it just like that. That was the opening statement. And then we sat down and I did it. Like, I've had enough. somebody's got to stand up to these guys. Like, come on. We pay hard-earned money to these guys to sit around and have lunch and bullshit, and not make decisions all the time. Like, it's ridiculous. So it ended him saying, I agree with you. We're going to do this and this. And, you know, he's asking, how much do you guys spend on budget on TV? Because he knows about my ad. A year in Michigan, like a million? I said, we spend $10 million a month, about $300,000 in Michigan a month. Oh, I said, yeah. Oh, I see your billboards. No, it's great. They're good, right? Yeah, perfect. You got it. You can't give them an ounce. You can't be scared to bet on yourself. I went in there betting on me because they're so scared of the utility company. I said, man, you guys, I told you, he said no one's rolled over on him. I said, you guys are so scared to stand up to him. They have other battles to fight. You think they're going to quit financing your campaign? You're wrong. They're still going to write you guys the checks. This one's just going to be a little argument, a little bite, and it's going to go away. They're still going to write you checks. Do the right thing for the people. Because if not, I'm not writing you checks. I'm blasting you. I'm spending millions of dollars of telling people why not to vote for you. And I don't even have a horse in the game. I'll just make sure you don't win. That's it.
I love that.
Because, you know, my money spends just as good as the utility company's money. It's still green. Media will still put it out there. Nobody likes the utility company. So, you know, I hate to put it that way to him, but somebody's got to stand up for the people. You know, this show's called The True Underdog. Someone's got to stand up for us. Someone's got to stand up for what we want to do. And we go back to the episode, scared money don't make money. People need to bet on themselves and have a voice in life, in what you want to do. Start listening to that inner voice and do something about it. Right?
That's right.
Have a great holiday, John. Bam! And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam!